So Israel was used to calculate in periods of 7 years. And so 7 and 62 weeks are weeks of years. This means 69 times 7 years. Now, at the time of Nehemiah, you can read that in Nehemiah 2, King Artaxerxes of Persia, or Artaxerxes in secular history, gave the permission to Nehemiah to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And we have the exact date in Nehemiah 2. It was in the 20th year of this king, so 445 BC, in the month of Nisan, which corresponds to our March, April. And now, when did Jesus of Nazareth arrive as prince? Not at his birth in Bethlehem. When he was born in a very poor family, not in a royal way, but on this Sunday, just before the crucifixion, when he entered on an ass into the city of Jerusalem and the crowd welcomed him as Messiah King. On that day, he arrived as the prince. And this was in March, April, month of Nisan, 32 AD. Why 32? You know, in Luke 3, we read that in the 15th year of Emperor Tiberius, John the Baptist and then the Lord Jesus began their ministry, their public ministry. Now, you can go on Wikipedia or on an even more serious site of lexicon, and you will get the fact that King Augustus, Emperor Augustus, was ruling up to 14 AD, and then Tiberius. 15th year is 29. And the Gospels explain us that the public service of the Lord was a service of 3 years. And for example, in Luke 13, 6 to 9 in this parable about the fig tree, you find an indication of these 3 years when God was searching for fruit at the fig tree Israel. So 29 plus 3, 32. And it was of the month, in the month of Passover, just in the days before Passover, so Nisan or Abib, it's the same month, March, April. And now it's wonderful to see that in prophecy, in biblical prophecy, years are years of 360 days. This is just in the midst of the lunar year, 354 days, and the solar year, about 365 days. So 360. Because the biblical year is a mixture of a lunar and a solar year. The months are always according to the moon, but the feasts like Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, Tabernacles, are feasts according to agriculture. And this follows, of course, the solar year. And so the prophetical years are just a mixture of the lunar and the solar year, so 360 days. Therefore, in Revelation 11, speaking about 3.5 prophetical years, the prophet John speaks about 1,260 days being 42 months. So, it's an easy calculation. Every month is just a month of 30 days. 12 times 30. 1,260 days, if you calculate 3.5 years. It's a year of 360 days. So, let us see. These 69 weeks are together, 69 times 7 times 360 days. These are 173,880 days. And this number of days fits exactly in between March, April 445 BC to March, April 32 AD. So we really can prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And all these more than 50 false messiahs that arrived after Christ in the first century, and then throughout the centuries up to our time, more than 50 false messiahs, they came just too late to be Messiah. But only the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, came in the correct time. A second prophecy, you see here, the prophecies are always counted. So the exact time was the first prophecy of these more than 300 prophecies. So number two, rejection of Messiah. Isaiah 53 verse 3 describes Messiah as rejected. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But by the way, the term men in Hebrew is a special form. It is not anashim, which would be the normal expression, but ishim. And ishim means especially the high-ranked men. So this is a prophecy that especially the leaders among the Jewish people would reject Messiah. And then Isaiah 49 verse 7, thus saith the Lord, to him to whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth. Number three, transfer for condemnation. Isaiah 53 verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. It's exactly what we find in the description of the Gospels, that the Lord Jesus did not defend himself, but he just let him to be brought to the Supreme Court in the royal stoa of the temple. You see here in the south eastern corner of the royal stoa was the Supreme Court of Israel, the Sanhedrin. And there he was condemned to death by the high priest Caiaphas. And the Lord did not try to defend himself, exactly as we read in Isaiah 53. But there were false witnesses. Prophecy number four. Psalm 35 verse 11 has foretold this fact. False witnesses did rise up. Verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good. And exactly this we read in Matthew 26:60, that false witnesses were fighting against the Lord in front of the Supreme Court. Now, when people say, maybe the Gospels do not tell the truth about the historical events, then you should think about the fact that the Gospels, the four Gospels of the New Testament, have been written in the time of the eyewitnesses. So if even one thing would not be according to the truth, this would have been a most welcomed occasion to attack Christianity in the beginning time. Because then the other eyewitnesses that were enemies of the Jews that were believing that Jesus is the Messiah, they could be attacked and they could prove them, all your stuff, what you are witnessing is just lie. But it's interesting, you don't find any footprints of such arguments. So in the Talmud and in the ancient rabbinical literature, you don't find this kind of argument against the faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah. Why not? Because everybody knew these things happened like it was described in the Gospels.